Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
It is a joy to celebrate this night with you. I want to welcome all of you, all of the friends and family of our baptized and confirmed and receiving their first communion, and everyone visiting. And it is a joy to celebrate this night on which God destroyed the works of sin and death and hell, on which Jesus rose from the dead. And through his resurrection, he has overturned everything fallen and broken about the human condition, about the world, about everything in our lives. He's overturned everything, not just out there and in a general way. I think what God wants us to know tonight is very personal, is in your life, in my life, like in each one of your lives and in my life, Jesus wants you to know that he can undo the works of darkness in your life. He can undo the works of darkness. What does this mean, works of darkness? Well, it's all of the bad things, and it doesn't even matter how bad. Even the worst things, he can undo those. That's what tonight is actually all about. That's the whole point of Easter. It's the whole point. So the bad things, it doesn't matter how bad. You can think of the worst catastrophe in your life, the worst thing that has happened or that you've done, the worst thing in your life, that thing that you feel so much guilt about, so much shame about, so much regret about that thing, or like that sort of this thing like, oh, that was a mistake, that was a failure, that will overshadow me forever. It'll sort of always be hovering around and following around. And you think, I'll never live in a world where that won't be true. I can't go back and redo it. And that's true. But Jesus can undo it. You think, oh, that will define me always and forever and ever. Amen. And I just have to say, you're right. It will define you forever. Unless you give your whole self to Jesus. Your whole self to Jesus. When someone gives their whole self to Jesus, they give him their past, present, and future. And then he does what only he can do and undoes the works of darkness in our lives. And this reality, when God sees us in any sort of a place of darkness, you know, we're talking about overcoming death. That's a place of darkness. When he sees us in, tonight is about overcoming sin. When he sees us in a place of sin, or someone has sinned and there's a need to forgive, when he sees us in any darkness or despair or regret or sadness, he doesn't say, oh, well, good luck with that. God doesn't say, well, that was your problem. That was your fault. I don't need to do anything about it. That's not what God says. Actually, when God sees us in those places where the works of darkness have had some effect in our lives and taken hold, he says, I love him. I love her. I am going to do something about that. And he has. He has. God has done something about that. And we just celebrated 2 days ago. We celebrated Good Friday. We remember in love Jesus' death on the cross. That 2,000 years ago on a cross outside of Jerusalem, Jesus died. Now the Romans executed a lot of people by crucifixion. Only one of them has any relevance to you or me. Everybody else died. It was probably a tragedy. And they were probably guilty, at least most of them, until they started martyring Christians. But there's only one man whose death has any effect on you or me. It's Jesus's, because he's the one man who meant to be there. He was there on purpose. In fact, being crucified was the whole reason why he came to earth. God became man to dwell among us. Why? As specifically to be on that cross. That is why. And on that cross, he offered himself up in our place, which means that he took all of the guilt on himself. He took all of the accusation on himself. He took all of the punishment on himself so that those consequences of sin don't have to fall on you or on me. It's as if the consequences of our sins were headed for us, and Jesus stepped in front of us and let them fall on him. That's what happened on the cross. On Good Friday, we read from Isaiah 53. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. But it was written 700 years before Jesus was born, prophesying about someone whose death would make many to be accounted righteous. It says this, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. With his stripes, we are healed. Iniquities and transgressions, those are sins. Jesus was scourged before he was crucified, and those stripes, that's the wounds from a scourging. This is talking about him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. There's this innocent man who is suffering for the sins of the guilty. It has all of these, it goes on, and it has all of these exact details that line up exactly with the death and burial of Jesus. And then it says, because of his suffering, he will make many to be accounted righteous. What does it mean to be accounted righteous? It means to be made innocent. To be guilty and then to be made innocent. It means the works of sin are undone in our lives. This is what Jesus does. And this is what Jesus wants to do in your life and in my life. I have to say, the craziest verse in the Bible, I found it, by the way. I found the craziest verse in the Bible. I couldn't believe this. I mean, I've heard it before, but I never really heard it. It's in Hebrews. It's in Hebrews chapter 8. And it's quoting, actually, I think it's quoting Jeremiah. It's quoting an Old Testament prophecy. And it's God speaking, and God is saying how he's going to make a new covenant with his people, not like the old covenant. He's going to be closer to them. He's going to give himself to us and belong to us, and we're going to belong to him. So there's this giving of ourselves to God where we give our whole life to him, our whole self to him, and he gives himself to us. And God is talking about his relationship with his people, how intimate it's going to be and how much he wants communion with them. And then he says, this is the crazy line, their sins I will remember no more. How does that work? Like, this is God. How does he just forget? Does God just forget something? I don't know. Like, I don't know. But I guess he's all-powerful, and if he decides, never more will I call this to mind, then he never more will call it to mind. I mean, you can't do that. I can't do that. If I tell you not to think of a pink elephant right now, you know, you can't control. God can do that. I guess he can do that. That's what he said, and you know what? That's what he does. But he doesn't just say that about, in general, the people, his people. Yes, that is us and he's called us into that, or calling us into that. But you, your sins. This is what happens when someone gives their life to Jesus. Now, you can't, okay, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you can't say, Jesus, I give you my past. Can you please take away all the regret, all the shame, all the guilt? Can you take away all the mistakes? I want to keep my present and my future because I want to keep on sinning and doing things my own way, and I don't really want to put you first. I want to keep the present and the future, but take the past. We can't really do that. It really doesn't work that way. We can either give Jesus our whole self, past, present, and future, or keep it all to ourselves. So if you give it to him, it just sounds something like this. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I trust in what you did for me on the cross, and I give myself to you. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours. And then Jesus does what only he can do to undo the works of darkness in your life. It's amazing to see, and this is always, it's always different and unique in the way that he does this and works this out in everybody's life, but he does. He does. If you could imagine just for a second, Cain and Abel in heaven. All right, you know, I don't know if you know the story. But in case you missed, I'll just give you a Cliff Notes version. Cain and Abel were brothers, and Cain murdered Abel. Okay, he killed his own brother. So that's not exactly the kind of thing that gets somebody into heaven, but like maybe he repented, asked God for forgiveness, and Jesus died for the sins of humanity. Maybe in God's mercy, Cain was one of those souls that Jesus led out of the dead and into heaven. So he sees his brother Abel in heaven. And what does he say? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can ever forgive me. Could you ever forgive me? I'm really sorry. And Abel says, for what? What are you sorry for? We're in heaven. Why are you sorry? And Cain's like, oh, that time when I killed you. Oh, yeah. You did kill me. It's as if that never happened. It will be undone. Maybe even more profoundly than that, I don't know. I just know when God says, your sins I will remember no more, they're gone. And some of you have given your lives to Jesus, and you have been preparing to be baptized. And you have said, Jesus, this is my life, this is my past, this is my present, this is my future, it's all yours, and I'm yours. And tonight, in not that many minutes, right back there, you are going to get baptized. Jesus is going to baptize you. All right, I mean, I'm going to pour the water. It's my voice, but it's Jesus who does this. And your sins will be washed away, and you will be made his sons and his daughters. And God will say to you, your sins I will remember no more. And this is what happens. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. There's no east pole, there's no west pole. You can just keep going ever east. Infinitely, that's how far they're separated. That's how gone they are to God. There's a story about a French nun in the 1600s, Sister Margaret Mary. And she was getting these messages from God, she said, about God's love for us, about the heart of Jesus. Jesus' heart is on fire with love for us. It's just willing to go through suffering for us. He loves us so much. He desires to heal us and for us to come to him. So she's getting these messages, and then this priest, to test her, asks her, Sister, I want you to go and ask Jesus, like if you're really hearing from God, like go ask Jesus, what was the last sin that I confessed in confession? What was the last mortal sin, like a serious sin, that I confessed in the sacrament of confession? So the priest says that to Sister Margaret Mary. She goes away and comes back. And the priest says, well, did you ask Jesus what my last sin was? And she said, yeah, I asked Jesus, what was your last mortal sin in confession? And Jesus said, I don't remember. God will never call it to mind again. Your sins I will remember no more. That's what happens every time someone goes to confession. They say, here are my sins, Lord, I'm sorry for them. Jesus, I trust in what you did for me, and I want your grace to follow you. I'm not perfect, but I want to try to follow you. And through the priest, it is God who forgives. It is Jesus who forgives sins. As he says in John 20 to his apostles, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained. And in that sacrament, their sins are forgiven, and God says to them, your sins I will remember no more. But God doesn't just undo sin. He undoes all of the works of darkness, even death itself, which is really the ultimate enemy. It's the ultimate thing because the evil one, you know, and all the demons had it set up. You know, death came into the world through sin. They had it set up so that death would have the last word. No matter how much you love somebody, it ends in death. No matter how good your life was, it ends in death. And it always ends in death, and that's final. That's the end. Until the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And if I could see anything ever on replay that has ever happened, it would be, and I know I'm not alone in this, because I heard a couple of you talking about this earlier this week. Jesus died on the cross, and then he went down to the underworld, unto the underworld. He went down to the dead. He went down into the depths, allowing death to swallow him. And I just imagine Jesus, like, he's shackled. He's in chains and he's shackled, and these demons have him and they take him down. But what I would really love to see is that first moment when Jesus broke those shackles. And when he flexed on all of the demons, use a theological term, he flexed on all of the demons in hell. And just that first moment when they realized, all of the demons realized what he was doing, just that, oh, shoot. We're so doomed. We're doomed. And absolutely, that's absolutely true. And that first moment where Jesus broke the shackles of death, led the captives out of the dead and into eternal life, into heaven. The souls of the just who had been awaiting, he led them out into heaven, and he rose again in his body. And that first moment where light entered the tomb and filled the tomb where Jesus' dead body was, But each cell in his body began to reanimate, and then he began to breathe, and then he walked right out of the tomb. Can you imagine all of the screaming and all the cursing and the tearing out of hair in hell? Jesus has just undone death itself. And all of the rejoicing in heaven, that would be an interesting like juxtaposition. To see both of those at the same time, that's what I'd love to see. Because Jesus specifically came, God specifically took on a human body to die so that he could raise that dead body back to new and immortal life and break and undo what death has over the human race. Jesus says in Revelation, he says, "Fear not, I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is saying, I have the keys of the underworld. I can go and come. I can go in and leave as I want. Death couldn't hold me in, and it can't keep me out. If you die, I will reach down into death and pull you out. Because he's the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, will live forever, will have eternal life. For those who believe in Jesus and belong to him, death is no longer final. It's not the end. It is a temporary stopover on the way to eternal life. Because the one with the keys of death and hell isn't going to be stopped. He's got the keys. He's going to reach in there and raise up you to new and eternal life. This is what we are celebrating tonight. Do you want Jesus to raise you to new and eternal life? Do you want him to undo the works of darkness in your life? That is what we are celebrating tonight, and that is what Jesus is inviting all of you, each one of you. He is inviting you into that. That is what we're celebrating at baptism. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you have undone the works of darkness. Thank you that you can undo all of the things that I have messed up. Thank you for the power of your resurrection. Thank you that you have the keys of death and the underworld. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Jesus, I give my life to you, myself to you, past, present, and future. It is yours. Amen.